News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning, y'all. It is 8:07 at FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig. And I know some of you are having trouble hearing us because you're a little bit further away from the old tower. We've got issues that we're trying to work on where we get a permanent answer to all this. So just understand we're doing everything we can and working hard for that. You can always listen online. FMTalk1065.com and other platforms too?
Yeah, you can download the TuneIn app, and we're on a number of other radio stream apps that get our URL and post us up there. Also, if you miss a show or you want to go back and listen to a show, we podcast all of our live local hours of radio, and you can check those out also at the website, FMTalk1065.com. But it's actually easier if you subscribe and have the episodes delivered directly to your phone. And you can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Also tune in through the podcast portion of their app, and basically anywhere the podcasts are available. So check us out there. And also, I think we're in the last week of the nomination period.
For the nappies.
For the nappies. And we sure would love your nominations. VoteNappies.com is where you can fill it in. And I'll do this today, and maybe today only, or maybe through the rest of the nomination period. If you would like a nomination, I'm working on the nomination period, or on the nominations all day. So shoot us a text, 343-0106, if you'd like to be nominated for any of the categories, and we'll see what we can do.
Wait a minute. What did you just do there? So this is, they text.
To help out a little bit, yeah. So, because people are always nominating us for nappies.
Shouldn't we be concentrating on our own campaign?
We should, but, you know, I like to help out. So if you want to be a finalist for one of the nappies, I'm not saying I can get you into the final voting.
But we can mention your place of business maybe to try and help you get some nominations.
Possibly, maybe. I was thinking more that I could nominate here from the studios for you.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see what we can do for
all
you.
Right. All right. I'm
being appreciative because so many people nominate us. I'm just trying to give back a little bit.
Well, that's okay. I didn't know what your motives were there.
They're usually bad.
but they were good there.
Yeah.
Also going on this weekend, by the way, the Alberta Sausage Festival. So we haven't had many festivals in a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly how they're going to work this out, but down in Alberta, you can you'll definitely smell sausage on Saturday. That's the day it is, I think, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And remember, this money goes towards the Alberta Volunteer Fire Department.
Right,
a lot of this. So, and they're hurting after not having a Sausage Festival event last year. This will be in the Alberta Town Park. It's on 98. Usually there's 20,000 people that show up per year. They've been doing this for over 40 years now. I'm not sure if 20,000 will show up tomorrow, but there's plenty to do. Continuous entertainment, they say, for adults and children, and 250 arts and crafts booths, also carnival rides, a full-scale midway, and Dalton's favorite part, a beer garden featuring a large selection of imported and domestic beers. So check that out tomorrow, Alberta Sausage Festival.
That is pretty cool. Also, so I guess, you know, I mean, I was downtown a couple of weekends ago, and the Festival of Flowers was happening at Cathedral Square. I guess if you're doing things outside, you're pretty much okay. Is that the way people are looking at this thing now?
Yeah, I think so.
Dwindling cases, stay outside, a lot of people getting vaccinated.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather will cooperate with these outside events. It's tough doing a sausage festival inside anyway.
Yes.
There's some difficulty involved there.
I read you there. Also, I'm trying to get a hold of Jesse Cole. He's my friend that owns the Savannah Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And the game for tonight at Hank Aaron Stadium, Alec mentioned this, that he's going to be down there cooking hot dogs and hamburgers, Alec Naaman. But so they say tonight's game is sold out. What that means, I don't exactly know what the capacity is going to be at Hank Aaron Stadium, but that's another outdoor event. It's a lot of fun. If you go to SavannahBananas.com, you can see what this team is all about. A lot of fun. They had a string of sellouts in Savannah that lasted seasons long.
Yeah.
And they have about a 3,000 seat venue, an old ballpark in Savannah, and sellout after sellout, people just absolutely, it's a great fan experience. So tonight's game is on, but it's evidently sold out. They've added another game for Saturday. You can go to SavannahBananas.com and get your tickets there.
Well, they called that the One City World Tour.
One City World Tour, and we're the city.
We are the city.
And I just got a text from Jesse, he'll be on with us later on this hour.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Go ahead.
The Biden press conference yesterday, the first press conference as the President of the United States, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are talking about that this morning.
Yeah, so, Fox News, they kept a ticker up on their main broadcast the last at least 2 or 3 weeks for how many days it had been since Joe Biden had taken office and not taken, like, an official press conference. There's been instances where he gets up and speaks, but usually either the vice president is nearby or another aide or some other politician is in the room, and then he has not been taking questions until yesterday. And I think they said they allowed about 30 media members into the room.
Right.
He spoke for quite a while and then took questions afterwards. Only took 10 questions from the media, and not sure if he took any from a conservative site. I know Fox News missed out that he did not call on Peter Ducey from Fox News, who said he had a full binder of questions to ask Joe Biden. But he did take some questions yesterday, and I think he said some pretty interesting stuff. He also, some of those questions were real softballs. One came from PBS, and the woman who asked the question basically said, "You're so kind and so nice. Is that why people are coming up from Mexico? From Central America through Mexico and into the United States? Is it because you're too nice?" So she kind of laid that one out there.
Coming from Colombia to see the nice guy.
To see the nice guy. Yeah. That was one of the softballs that was lobbed Joe Biden's way. I guess you could call this one a softball, too. He was asked about whether he plans to run for re-election. Now, we're just over 2.5 months into his administration this year.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, so they asked if he planned to run for 2024. He said his answer is yes. I plan for running for re-election. That's my expectation. And then he was asked again to commit to running 100%. Biden said he was a big believer in fate and had no idea what would happen in the next 3.5 years. But remember, by 2024, Biden will be 82 years old. Mm. And then, of course, the questions turned to the former president. He was asked if he believed he'd be running against former President Trump, and Biden said, "Oh, come on. I don't even think about it. I have no idea. I have no idea if there will be a Republican Party. Do you?" So that was his question for the 2024 thing. But he also spoke about important things like what's happening at the border and the filibuster, which has been a major discussion here with the Democrats trying to get rid of the 60-vote threshold.
I think this is kind of a joke, wasn't it?
Yeah, he made a bit of a joke when asked about the filibuster.
Check it out.
I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago.
So he keeps talking
Where's the laugh track at?
Yeah, and I don't know if he got a laugh there in the with the media, but 120 years ago, whenever he was in Senate, I believe it started 44 years ago, he's been referencing the talking filibuster that was in place for so long, where you could filibuster, you just have to continuously talk. And he has hinted that that's what he wants to go back to. But it really seems that the Democrats are hell-bent on changing the rules regarding the filibuster. Yep. And it could only take 51 Senate votes to pass through one of these major bills. Somebody was tweeting earlier, just wait for the, if they do this and the Republicans take over the Senate and pass an anti-abortion bill with 51 senators, what that will mean to the Democrats.
Whoa.
That's what McConnell's talking about when he says this would ruin the Senate.
815 FM Talk 1065. Feel free to call 343-0106. Morning from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. It is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 1065, 820. And you realize that game is sold out at Hank Aaron Stadium tonight.
Yeah.
3,500 tickets, and only 40 tickets are left for tomorrow.
Wow.
The Savannah Bananas are in town, and Jesse Cole is the president of said Bananas and a friend of mine. And Jesse, how are you, man?
Dan, Dalton, so excited to be with you. Couldn't be more excited to be out in Mobile. We brought 90 people from our team, our entertainment cast, and our players got here yesterday, and we're ready to rock and roll.
You were telling Dalton and I you had rehearsal. So in athletics, we don't usually call it a rehearsal. Tell everybody why that's what it's called with the Savannah Bananas.
Well, everything we try to do is make baseball fun, so it's a show. So literally this morning we'll be practicing with our pep band, our breakdancing first base coach, our unicyclist, our stilts person, our mananas, and our players to make sure that we deliver a pretty crazy, wild show. So from once the gates open at 6 o'clock to all the way at the end of the game, at the end of Banana Ball, that people feel like it's a show they'll never forget.
So a lot of people, you know, we know what minor league baseball is like. We know what high school, college, MLB is like. Tell people how Banana Ball is different than your average baseball game.
Well, we've continued to ask the question, you know, what are the challenges with baseball? Why do some people find it long, slow, and boring? And how do you create a better fan experience? And we kept asking those questions, said, well, what if? What if a game was just 2 hours? You know, what if batters couldn't step out of the batter's box? What if a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out? And we started asking all those questions, and we've been practicing, and the fans have responded. They've stayed till the end of the game. They've watched all the excitement. And so if you continue to ask the right questions, I think you'll get the answers that create a better fan experience. So we're still in the testing phase. There'll be some unique things that we're still working on tonight, but I think fans are going to see an action-packed, nonstop entertainment baseball game, which will be different than most people have seen before.
I'm really surprised that the city and the health department signed off on 3,500, huh?
Well, you got obviously a stadium 5,500.
Right.
You know, obviously there will be empty seats between, trying to make sure everyone is safe. But yeah, 3,500, you know, we could be playing in front of more fans than maybe anyone in the country tonight. And I know fans are feeling excited for that.
You know, our city should feel very fortunate.
No kidding.
That you're coming down here.
Yes.
Because this is the one city world tour, and our city here by the Gulf just happened to be that one city you chose. How did you come up with the idea for the one city world tour, and how did Mobile end up winning that race?
Well, for 3 years we've been asked the question, you know, hey, when are you guys going to come to our town? And about a year ago we said, you know, we're just going to do this. I know it's a pandemic. Let's see what we can do and start this show and start learning from it. And so we put it out to our fans, heard from over 1,000 different cities and, you know, 15 countries. And I was like, Sydney, Australia, we're not going to be able to go to you this year. Sorry, that's going to be a challenge. But Mobile, Alabama, I spoke here a couple of years ago at the Senior Bowl Summit, and, you know, realizing that they were losing their baseball team, very similar to Savannah, Georgia. They lost professional baseball. Seeing a city that likes to have fun, likes to celebrate, there were so many, you know, things that made sense for us. And then as soon as we got here, the mayor of the city, they rolled out the yellow carpet for us. So it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, are you in your yellow tuxedo right now?
Yeah, that's all I own. Are you kidding me? My wife is still married to me. Imagine that. But yes, I have 7 yellow tuxedos. I brought 2 for one for tonight and one for tomorrow night.
This is great. Jesse Cole is the president of the Savannah Bananas. Just tell the story about how everything happened in Savannah, because it sounds a little bit like Mobile with no interest at all in the very end for the Savannah minor league team. And so everybody thought you were kind of crazy. What happened? And give us the timeline on that.
Yeah, long story short, my wife and I, who met in baseball and fell in love in baseball and proposed at our former team, you know, we went to Savannah, Georgia, found out they were losing their professional team, and we said, let's take it on. And we went from zero debt to 7 figures debt pretty quickly by buying that team and putting money into it. And with only a few months, we only sold a couple tickets. And just 5 years ago, my wife and I received a phone call that we'd overdrafted our account, we were completely out of money, and we had to sell our house and empty out our savings account. We had to be able to show the fans that it could be fun, it could be different. And once they came out to the first game and saw, you know, the dancing players, the breakdancing first base coach, and the singing and the fun, they told everybody. And since that day, from just 2 tickets, every single game in Savannah has sold out. And now, obviously, One City World Tour Mobile, 2 nights selling out, is just, we pinch ourselves, feel very fortunate.
Earlier, when you talked about the crew you brought down to Mobile from Savannah,
yeah.
I think I heard you say the man-nanas. Is that what you said? And what the heck is a man-nana?
The Mananas is our dad bod cheerleading squad. So they are all men anywhere between their 40s to late 60s, and they are cheerleaders. So they will be, you know, getting the crowd fired up. It's a dad bod cheerleading squad, and we put them together with our banana pep band. It's quite the environment in the stands, let's put it that way.
So did you recruit these dad bods? Are they from Savannah, or did you come to Mobile and find the best dad bods in Mobile?
Well, I'll tell you that. Well, we in addition, we have our regular Mananas squad, which is 4 to 5 men that show up every night. But we came down to Mobile. We had our honorary coach contest, and Willis Wilcox won that. He became the honorary coach. But number 2 was Matthew Bailey, and he was quite the character. So I said, Matthew, how do you feel about joining the Mananas? And he goes, I'm in. So we are bringing one more Manana. His first time is going to be tonight. We hope he represents well, but there will be one Mobile Manana representing tonight. And also, 3 players from Mobile will be playing in the next few nights, which is pretty exciting as well.
So how did that happen? Were there tryouts? And they're on your team, or they're on the opposing team?
We have two that will be on the Bananas and one that will be on the Party Animals. So we came down here about a month ago, and we're looking for pitchers because playing back-to-back nights, we need a few extra pitchers. And we had a couple guys, or one guy throwing in the low 90s, so he made the team pretty quickly, and a couple other guys in the high 80s. And they'll get to pitch in their hometown in front of a sold-out crowd. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Savannah Bananas are in town tonight, Hank Aaron Stadium, and only tonight's a sellout, only a few tickets for tomorrow night.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, we're expecting tomorrow's tickets to go pretty fast this morning.
So tell us one more time, how do players score in this game? I know you said that you can catch a foul ball. Like if a fan catches a foul ball, that's an out.
Can you picture a little kid in the stands with his glove, maybe 8 years old?
Yeah.
He catches the foul ball and that player's out.
He plays a role in the game.
Incredible.
And it happened last game. We played this game in Savannah last weekend, and unfortunately, the fan caught a Bananas foul ball.
Oh, boy.
So the Bananas were out, and he got booed pretty quickly. So do not catch Bananas foul balls. It's very important. But in regards to the scoring, it's like match play. Every inning counts. If you win the inning, if your team scores more than the other team, you get a point. Mm-hmm. And the first team to 5 points wins. So literally it makes every inning interesting and chance to have walk-off. The Bananas could have a walk-off in the first inning, which would be really exciting.
Wow. Savannah Bananas are in town. They're like nothing you've ever seen before. I can tell you that. You can find out more about them online at savannahbananas.com. And look at the videos, see what they're up to, because it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a circus and a baseball game breaks out.
Mm-hmm. Best way to get tickets for tomorrow night's game, Jesse, would that be online?
Yeah, Bananas website, One City World Tour. You'll see there'll be a box if there's tickets available, the One City World Tour.
Wow. Well, excited to have you in town, and I will drop by the stadium later on today and make sure you guys got everything you need.
We really appreciate all the support. The city's been wonderful to us, and we can't wait to hopefully put on a show they'll never forget.
Are you going to have a Savannah Bananas season this year in Savannah? You know, it's usually, is it a June through August season?
Yes, we play our college season is June through August. That's just our college. And these are all paid players, so our pro team is right now. The last game is Saturday night.
Okay. Jesse, thanks for hopping on with us today. And it looks like I don't have to wish you any luck. You've got a sellout and another one on the way for the Savannah Bananas and all the fun they're going to have at Hank Aaron Stadium. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Jesse Cole, owner of the Savannah Bananas. And you're right. That's seems like a really interesting event a good time to be had at Hank Aaron Stadium. You said I ought to take the two-year-old out there.
I really think she would enjoy. She's going to see things that she's not expecting.
Right.
And nothing thrills a little kid more than being surprised by something. And everything that's going to happen on the field at Hank Aaron Stadium, little of it's going to have to do with baseball, really.
Yeah.
So the story, though, really is incredible. They continue to sell out 3,500 or 4,000 seats, whatever it is, in this old ballpark in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great place. It's an old ballpark that's kind of fallen apart, and everybody shows up anyway because the Savannah Bananas, so much fun.
That's a tough thing to do this day and age, so if you're keeping count, Savannah, Georgia, not only has the Savannah Bananas, but Amtrak. Is that 2 points for Savannah, zero for Mobile, or do we get a point for not having Amtrak?
there's the conversation right there.
That's been the discussion. All right, coming back, turning up your voice, 343-0106. Let's take you down to the border when we get back and what Biden had to say about that yesterday. FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now, let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good wet morning, sir. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing great, Louis, and a big weekend on deck at McConnell Automotive. Last weekend of March, so time to get in and get a deal.
That's right. That's the best deal. And we just traded in a 2020 Scat Cat. If y'all know what that is, that's a Dodge Charger, and it's a bad car. I wish it wasn't wet today. I'd just take it for a ride. 392 cubic inch engine in it.
Wow.
Hemi. So it's a bad little ride.
Yeah, that's awesome. What else you got out there?
We got some diesels coming in. They should be here next week. 3/4 ton Denalis. Don't forget about that 1 ton dually we got. We need to get rid of that too, and hopefully the weather's going to cooperate today and tomorrow, and we're going to have a fun day tomorrow.
Yeah, and remind people if they can't make it out to the lot in person, the website a pretty dang good deal, too.
That's right. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene or I, 251-476-4141.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Your phone call is welcome, 343-0106, or you can text as well, and a lot of you are doing that this morning. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig at 8:38 at FM Talk 106.5. The show is Mobile Mornings. On the way, Jeff Poor has got some special guests lined up, including Mike Rogers,
who's up there
at the Senate.
So he has Congressman Mike Rogers coming on today, also State Representative Chris Blackshear. I'm looking forward to Jeff's interview coming up in the third hour of his show. You know, we've been talking a lot about the gambling bill that was proposed by Del Marsh that didn't make it through. But we do have a lottery bill that looks like it might make it through. If you've been listening to Jeff's show, it appears the most likely route that this gambling bill for the state, if it is to be passed, it'll have to happen during special session this summer. That's what most of the media that spends their time in Montgomery has been saying. But Jeff has an interview coming up at 11 o'clock with Catherine Rand and Steve Light, and they work with the Institute for the Study of Tribal Gaming. Now, this is at a particular university. I can't remember what university this institute is from, but they are, you know, not affiliated with Porch Creek, and not, as far as I know, not closely tied to Alabama, but they study what tribal gaming is about. You know, they know a lot about tribal gaming. I mean, it's called the Institute for the Study of Tribal Gaming. So they'll provide some great insight, I believe, during Jeff's show of what all of this means for Porch Creek Band of Indians, or Porch Band of Creek Indians, and also for the state if they are to follow through with this casino bill. And then to wrap it up, Jeff's normal Friday guest, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be on. So great show on deck for the Jeff Poor Show.
I think the Porch Creek, also they've got gaming interests, an arena maybe in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were so spread out and you know, I thought they were Alabama pretty much completely,
no,
but that's not the case at all.
No, they have a pretty large portfolio.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, I don't know about the arena. I thought they had a casino up there for sure. And then they're talking about building, if I remember correctly, a casino in, I want to say, Virginia. I'll have to look it up. Maybe one of the Carolinas. I think it's Virginia, though, and an over $500 million casino.
Wow.
That's being built by Porch Band of Creek Indians. So,
I think the reason I thought that was because the arena might be named Wind Creek, something like that. Anyway, I'll go back over my notes and see if I can find that. 8:40 at FM Talk 106.5. Another area of the country is getting a lot of attention, and did yesterday with Joe Biden's first press conference.
Yeah, so he talked about the border, which I would say right now, if it's not the top issue for the Biden administration, it's one of the top three. And they have, to this point, Biden and his press secretary, Jennifer Psaki, and, well, a number of other people in the administration has refused to call what's happening at the border a crisis. And to this point, until this week, they've refused blaming themselves, but they also really haven't put much blame on anyone else until this week. And, and now the border problem is not a Biden problem, it's a Trump problem. He talked about that a little bit yesterday.
The idea that I'm going to say, which I would never do, that if an unaccompanied child ends up at the border, we're just going to let him starve to death and stay on the other side. No previous administration did that either, except Trump.
So he's blaming Trump there, and he said some other things about the border yesterday. He said some families are not going back because Mexico is refusing to take them back. Some, not all. We're in negotiations with Mexico. That's going to change. They should all be going back. That's Biden saying that they should all be going back to Mexico. Last month, about 59% of migrant families were allowed to remain in the United States. And then they're still waiting on a decision under Title 8, whether they'll be forced to go back or not. But it seems pretty clear to me. I mean, throughout his campaign, Biden was heavily on the side of allowing illegal immigrants to come into America.
Yep.
If he didn't say it outright, it was it was said, you know, through other means that they could be allowed to come to America.
Well, it was the whole thing to counter the wall thing, like the exact opposite right. of the way Trump saw immigration is the way he and Democrats were going to see the same issue.
So it shouldn't be a surprise that, and you know, a lot of people came up and tried to cross into the border while Trump was president, but it shouldn't be surprising that even more have been coming up since Biden was elected back in November. And as one of the texters yesterday pointed out, after Biden said this actually began under the Trump administration, a texter to us said, yeah, but you had been elected president at that point. So it happened while you were the president in waiting, even though Trump was still in charge at the White House, that once Biden was elected, a lot of the people in Central America and Mexico decided to come on up. Now, I did see that there's been a study or a report that a whole lot of the illegal immigrants that are coming through, even though there's been a lot of unaccompanied children, there's been a lot of families that have come up too, a huge portion of these people are single workers, single mm-hmm. males that are coming up and looking for a job. They see things opening up here in America. They heard the kind rhetoric from Biden, and they said, you know, it's a lot better than what I got going on here, and decided to come on up. So what's interesting is Trump, you know, he hasn't been on Twitter. He hasn't been on Facebook. He basically has been letting his voice be heard through email.
Mm-hmm.
I get emails all the time. It says from the office of 45, and sometimes there are these long press releases. Sometimes it's words that could fit in one tweet. So it's kind of, it's his method of tweeting
now. He's still tweeting, but he's doing it with email.
But listen to this. Congressional Republicans are visiting the U.S.-Mexico border soon to take stock of the immigration situation for themselves. And according to Newsweek, it's possible that former President Donald Trump could be making a trip in the future. So Biden has now put the border crisis in the hands of Vice President Kamala Harris. He said that's her deal now. And Biden said he doesn't want to go down to the border because he doesn't, in his words, want to make the story about him and bringing Secret Service down and what all that would entail. But how about his likely opponent for the 2024 election, former President Trump, going down to the border himself?
Yes.
Taking his still Secret Service down there, and what kind of imagery that would provide, and what that would mean is he kind of gets started with his 2024 campaign 3 years early.
Well, for it to be imagery, you've got it. It's got to be covered.
Yeah.
So we know Fox News will cover Trump at the border.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost like a TV show.
Yeah.
Trump at the border. And
maybe a full special.
Yeah. Really. CNN, MSNBC.
Will they cover?
Will they cover Trump at the border?
I think they'd have to at least show him.
You would
border,
think,
right?
Yeah. You would think so, but that's part of it too. And again, he's squeezed off of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's now emailing. I mean, this is a guy who tweeted how many millions?
It was what, 60 million or something like that, maybe
and
more.
Now he's down to just emailing Dalton one on one. He's been silenced in a way, but. It'll be, and now there's also word that Trump's going to try to come up with his own source of social media, right?
Yeah, his own social
platform?
Media site, yeah. Somebody in the back said it needs to be called Trumpet.
That
the name
is
of the site, Trumpet.
That is awesome. It is 8:46 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. I appreciate a lot of you listening to what I'm saying, but I'm talking about this law firm, Boatner, Richardson & Wolf. They're there for you, I guarantee you, and they're local. They're not some guy on a billboard from miles away or another state or anything like that. They're right here. Dalton and I-65, Boatner, Richardson, Wolf. If you've had some sort of could be something as simple as a car accident, you've been injured, you're in bad shape now, and you've lost wages and on, you've got some sort of a claim, but you need to have the right people to advocate for you. They are it. Boatner, Richardson, Wolf. They're Dalton and I-65. You can check out their website at brwlawyers.com. That's brwlawyers.com. You can leave a text or call anytime as well. You can leave a text letting them know what's going on with you and what you would like to talk to and meet with them about. 251-433-7766. They're a legal team that other attorneys will recommend to their clients. So if you're here in Alabama or even Mississippi or Florida, that first consultation, sitting down and talking with you, will not cost you a dime. That's all on the house. I just want to see what's going on with you. Boatner, Richardson, Wolf, and again, 433-7766. 7766.
We've talked about some of the events coming up this weekend. You have the Savannah Bananas in town tonight and tomorrow for their One City World Tour at Hank Aaron Stadium. Also, the Alberta Sausage Festival tomorrow, an egg hunt at Bellengrath Gardens,
right,
where I will be tomorrow morning.
Live remote.
That's where no live remote, but I'll be hunting for some eggs.
Good.
Hey, another event coming up tomorrow afternoon in Spanish Fort, the Common Sense Campaign's Stand Up Alabama. And on to talk with us about that right now, Dr. Lou Campanosi from the Common Sense Campaign. Hey, Dr. Lou, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, guys. Well, I appreciate a little bit of time to talk about our event. I didn't realize that we had so much competition tomorrow, but I think that if people think carefully about what's going on in this country and the need for them to, you know, get engaged, this is an opportunity to get engaged, because Congressman Mo Brooks, who is certainly one of our outstanding leaders in Congress, who's been willing to stand up and fight for Trump and go after these people who are trying to take away our rights, I think it's an opportunity that people need to take advantage of. And what's really good is that we're going to have this interactive. So after Congressman Brooks does his talk, we're going to have an opportunity for people to ask questions of him. And I think that's the kind of thing that makes a big difference in terms of not just listening, but being able to ask questions, ask those probing questions. Some of those kind of probing questions that you didn't see yesterday on the president's press conference, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how this goes. But our people have got to be aware of what's happening and get themselves engaged. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
So you say Stand Up Alabama. What are we standing up for exactly, Dr. Lou?
Well, standing up for the constitutional rights that are in jeopardy. And I think that's one of the key things here. We've asked our legislators to follow the example of Arizona. Arizona passed a law that basically said that there will be none of their agencies supporting any kind of unconstitutional act by the federal government. If the feds want to come in and take your guns, then they're going to have to do it themselves. The locals are not going to be part of this at all. And that's something that I think that we need to be pressing on. And there is a bill up there that is along those lines. So those are the kinds of things that we need to stand up for.
Dr. Lou, how does anyone listening right now get more information about the Common Sense Campaign and what it's all about?
Okay. All you have to do is go to commonsensecampaign.org. We have information on there on how to join. There's information about what's going on. There's a link there to our Facebook page for more information. So I think if you're interested in what's going on tomorrow, commonsensecampaign.org, you'll have a full schedule there. We start at 4, end at 5:30. There's food available at the Container Park, great restaurants there. It's a family-type environment from 4 to 5:30. So just hopefully the weather will give us a break and we won't have rain.
Yeah, I think tomorrow Dr. Bill says it's going to be the better of the 2 days, so you should be fine as far as that goes. So good luck with the event tomorrow.
I heard that this morning too, so that was encouraging. But what would be most encouraging is if we have a big crowd out there, and I certainly hope to see that.
Yeah, I think we will. Thank you, Dr. Lou.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right, Dr. Lou Campanosi talking about the Stand Up Alabama event. That'll be tomorrow afternoon in Spanish Fort at 4 o'clock. Dan, I don't know about you, but when they come out with these surveys of popular baby names, I'm always maybe a little more interested in those than I should be.
Yeah, I saw this story.
For one reason or another, but you've seen the new popular kind of thing to name your children?
All right, now y'all just brace yourself, please. and if you have a baby that's named after a spice, maybe you're not so surprised. Naming their babies after things you would find in your spice rack.
Yes, herbs and spices. And the most popular names.
I got it.
From the herb and spice world. Now, children have been named this.
Yeah.
You know what the most popular spice name is?
There's a little boy in Grove Hill named Celery Salt Johnson. So I think celery salt is number one.
And his cousin, Pink Himalayan Salt. You can't forget that person, too.
This is ridiculous.
Celery salt, not the number one name, but Sage. Sage.
Okay.
And this one, no matter your gender, it's hard to be misgendered when your name is Sage. 666 boys have the name Sage, and 1,164 girls in 2019 were named Sage.
Okay.
Coming up hot, number two.
Coming up hot.
Well, I don't know. I'm never good with the spices. Probably why I'm not good at cooking. Juniper. is the number two herb or spice. Lots of girls have been named juniper recently.
I've never put juniper on anything. What kind of a spice is it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's spicy or it sounds sweet, doesn't it? It's probably some kind of sweet
thing.
Yeah,
it does. It does.
Number three is only a girl's name, Jasmine. 2092 girls named Jasmine. This one I don't get. Basil. They've been naming the kids Basil.
Basil is a real name.
Yeah.
Basil is a name. Basil is a name. I have a neighbor named Basil.
I know about Basil Hayden's. That's a liquor.
Yeah, right? I know about that too.
That's about all I know about that's named Basil. And then number five, Poppy. And as someone who's watched the movie Trolls a million times and Queen Poppy, the main character in Trolls, I know all about that. So those are the top five spices and herbs names for children, and that's becoming apparently more popular. There's also babies named thyme, saffron, curry, clove, cayenne, and anise, and also mace. Somebody out there is naming their children mace.
Gee whiz. I have no idea what Celery Saul Johnson thinks of all this, because he probably thought he was home free. He was the one guy named after a spot. He could be the only Celery Salt out there.
Well, it sounds like a nickname for like a basketball player.
It does.
Old Celery Salt Johnson.
Old Celery Salt Johnson from 20. Good.
Yeah.
So anyway, another trend that Dalton thought you'd be interested in, and I did see that this morning and just kind of rolled my eyes.
Dan says juniper is what they make gin out of.
Really?
Juniper berries.
Okay.
So there we go. You learn something every day, right?
Yep. So if you you're in the spice area of the grocery store, not just to get everything for your spice rack, get what you need, but just start surveying the whole spice rack and see if you don't come up with a name.
Come up with an awesome name.
Yeah.
If not for a child, for a pet maybe. Good idea.
Let's start out slow and name your pet after a spice before you do it with the kid.
All right, Jeff Porcio on the way, Congressman Mike Rogers, State Rep Chris Blackshear, also Catherine Rand and Steve Light with the Institute for Tribal Gaming, and State Senator Chris Elliott all on the way.
8:59 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and back with you Monday morning on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.